Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Believe it or not, since 1919, when Robert Ripley first published his illustrated panel under that name, Believe It or Not has come to mean odd and outlandish stories. Stories told mostly to entertain and on occasion to educate. Today's gospel passage smacks of one of Ripley's tales, but rest assured, this gospel is no mere item of odd entertainment. It's the fifth and last week in Lent, and Jesus' journey to Jerusalem and the cross is almost complete. It's been a long journey, and we have met a number of interesting people along the way. We've met Satan in the wilderness, we've met Nicodemus at night, the Samaritan woman at the well, and last week a man born blind from birth. It's been a journey made up of a series of shorter journeys, journeys out of darkness and into light, out of the wilderness and into the promised land of eternal salvation, out of sin and into forgiveness, out of blindness and into sight. Today, this last little journey, unbelievable as it may seem, follows the pattern to a T. But perhaps today's darkness is a bit too dark for us. Today's darkness may seem to be darker than the darkness of just a few sins, however bad they may seem. Today's darkness may appear to be worse than even the darkness of Satan in the wilderness. And it's easy to understand why, because today's darkness is the ultimate darkness. It is the darkness of death. In today's gospel, John chapter 11, we have the almost unbelievable story of Jesus' friend Lazarus, brother of Mary and Martha. The beginning verses of this chapter set the stage. And if you care to, and I recommend it, read this chapter in its entirety tonight. It is told in a beautifully detailed and almost eyewitness manner. Beginning at verse 5, we read, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, 'Let us go to Judea again.' The disciples said to him, 'Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you are going there again?'" We see here how much Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. He's even willing to risk death at the hands of his enemies. But you may be asking yourself, why did he wait 2 days? Why didn't he get up and go immediately? Before you go too far down that path, let's pause a minute. As we saw last week, Jesus' way of doing things is not always our way. Where we would want an eye doctor, Jesus prefers mud and spit. But one thing is certain, his way is always the best, and it is always of benefit to us. So let's read verses 14 and 15. "Then Jesus told them plainly, 'Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him.'" You see, even if Jesus would have left immediately, he knew that Lazarus was dead. And what's more, Jesus had a bigger idea, a bigger plan, a plan to save more than just his dear friend. "So that you may believe," he says. Our Lord Jesus Christ is always thinking of the bigger picture. He's always thinking of salvation and of gathering more believers into his fold. Even as he journeys to the cross to pay for our sins, his thoughts are on his sheep. The fact is that Jesus' timing was perfect, of course. I will not go so far as to compare Jesus to Robert Ripley as far as showmanship goes, but he definitely knew how to please a crowd. And there certainly was a crowd there in Bethany when he arrived. Many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother, we read. Lazarus was 4 days in the tomb, and that would mean something significant to the religious leaders of that day. Rabbinic belief was that the soul hovered over the body for 3 days and then departed afterwards. So to be 4 days in the tomb meant to be dead, dead. Not just physically dead, but spiritually dead as well. By arriving when he did, Jesus set the stage for his biggest and his most telling miracle. Now we have Martha, honest and straightforward Martha, and she questions her Lord, but not in a negative way. She's being open, honest, and thankful, and truthful. She speaks from the heart and from her mind. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Faithful Martha knows that her Lord could have saved Lazarus, and she says as much. But she also knows that all is in God's hands, and if only we could be so open and honest when we go to our Lord in prayer. Jesus tells her that her brother will in fact rise, but Martha cannot wrap her head around what Jesus is actually saying. Oh, I know that the resurrection will come on the last day, she says, but Jesus is using here and now language. He's using a present tense. This is just the type of language he uses in the next verse, verse 25. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Then, like the blind man last week, Martha gives her very good confession. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. And we say amen to that with Martha. Believe it or not, it is here, at this point, where we should pause and linger. Because it is in these verses where the meat of this gospel lesson lies. Yes, raising Lazarus was a big deal. And yes, bringing back a man dead in body and soul would create such a buzz in all the high places, that the decision was made to wipe this Jesus out once and for all. But here, in verses 24 through 27, is where we need to stop for a while. Did you hear what Jesus said to Martha? Or were you, like her, a little bit more concerned with raising her dead brother? Ego, eimi, he, anastasis. That's the Greek. The English interpretation is, I am the rising up. Or as we say, I am the resurrection. If there are any English teachers here, you know that this is not a very well-constructed phrase. Resurrection is an action word, a verb. Jesus is saying that he is the very act of resurrection itself. There's a pastor I know who likes to use the phrase, Jesus is the verb. Think about that. Jesus is not simply talking about being able to resurrect Lazarus, nor is he talking about being able to be resurrected in the future. Jesus is saying that he is resurrection. Jesus himself is the very act itself. To make the sentence even more striking, Jesus uses the phrase, I am. It's a present tense. It's a here and now phrase. We've heard this before in our Lenten Gospels, but we haven't spent too much time on it. But throughout the Gospel of John, Jesus makes a number of I am statements, all leading up to this one today. Let me give you a quick rundown. I am the bread of life, John 6. I am the light of the world, John 8, and again in John 9. We covered that a few weeks ago. Before Abraham was, I am, also in John 8. I am the door, John 10. And that's a wonderful story of how it is that through Jesus we come to salvation. I am the good shepherd, because Christ loves his sheep so much that he would die for them. And today we have, I am the resurrection and the life. With these I am statements, Jesus reaffirms that he is the great I am. Believe it or not, this pulls us back to the Old Testament, back to when God clarified with Moses just who it was who would deliver his people from slavery. That's Exodus 3:14. God says to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Yes, Jesus, our Jesus. The very Jesus who comes to you today in spirit and in truth, in word and in sacrament, is the same eternal I am. This very same Jesus who loves you so much that he died for you is not just your future resurrection. He is your present resurrection as well. He is the act of new life. He is new life for you this very day. Even though the sinful four-day stench of the tomb may burn your nostrils, Jesus is here to deliver you and to resurrect you. The great I am was there to save the people of Israel. He was there to bring Lazarus back from the grave, And he is here today to bring you new life and salvation, to take you from your own darkness and into his light. It's as Paul says in today's epistle, "But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ Jesus will also give you life to your immortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." All this seems to make poor Lazarus's big walk from the darkness of the tomb into the light of life seem a little ho-hum. But Jesus knew what he was doing, of course. He prays aloud to his Father, not just for his own account, but so that the crowds would hear and believe as well. Then he brings Lazarus out, demonstrating that the Son of God can and will, in fact, conquer even death itself. Yes, the miracle is a big deal, and it's performed in front of a big crowd, so big, in fact, that it reaches all the way back to Jerusalem. The Pharisees and even up goes up to the high priest Caiaphas. And, believe it or not, Caiaphas makes a statement that is all too true, though not in the way he meant it. Caiaphas says it is better that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish. Caiaphas wanted Jesus dead so that he could be done with him and get him out of his way and have his people and his nation back under control. The truth is, Jesus would in fact die for all the people, and not simply one nation, but for all of humanity, so they would not perish, so they would have eternal life. It's interesting that we see no unbelief in the Pharisees of today's gospel. Unlike last week when they needed to pull in the blind man's parents to help prove that he was in fact blind and that Jesus in fact returned his sight, today they just say, "We can't let him go on like this." And so from that day on they made plans to kill him. But here's the good news. Jesus does go on like this. He goes on being the resurrection. He goes on bringing those dead in sin back to life, bringing those in darkness back to light, and giving sight to those who are blind. He does this in his very Jesus way. He does this by being resurrection, by being in action, by being I am, a present tense, by being a here and a now Savior. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, he gives us that life and salvation. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Robert Ripley may have given you a choice whether to believe it or not. But I stand with Martha, the blind man, Peter, and all the saints in heaven, and boldly state, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God." In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, we ask you to please fill out the red pew folders as the ushers come forward for the offering.